if he wanted that, he would make us that way. But he wants us to have our free will involved. He wants us to have our hearts behind it. And so when we talk about growing in God, the G of our discipleship, you have to understand, you have to participate. And I've went over this before. We'll go over some of the same things. But I want you to know this. I want you to know the scripture. If you're taking notes, and I highly recommend, in fact, I want you all to grab a pad of paper before the end of the study, if you haven't already have one available to you. And I want you to write down a series of questions, and I'm going to be wanting information back, and I'll explain that to you when we get there. But listen, here's what Jeremiah 29:13 says. Listen to the promise that God gives us here. It says, "And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all of your heart." And so when we talk about growing in God, it is completely dependent upon us seeking him out. A person who does not seek the Lord will not grow in the Lord. A person who says, "I've got a problem with church, and they backstabbed me, and they slandered me, and they're hypocrites," they won't be growing in the Lord. You have got to participate. And there's no way to say this. I'm not going to pull any punches. The fact of the matter is, you and I are going to grow only as much as we're willing to invest. And here's the ironic thing, is that you can see the people around you that are growing. You just watch them for a time. It just takes a little bit of time, and you'll see that they're open to the things of God, or they're closed off to the things of God. If you seek the Lord out with all of your heart, I absolutely guarantee you that you're going to grow. I don't know if it was last Sunday or if it was the last two Sundays. I want to tell you this. I absolutely want a challenge to be out there. I want to see what's going to happen a year from now. Will our church really show radical growth? I think that'll be a sign. If we're not radically growing, then the leadership will get together and we'll decide what we have to do different at that point. If you had a group of sheep and you were leading them as shepherds through, one pasture to another, what you'd want to do is you want to give them a good, healthy pasture to eat and to grow, and you want to give them some exercise, and you want to tend to their needs and take care of them. That's what we're doing. And so, I've already shared this, and I'm pretty passionate about it, but I think it's completely up to you, and it's completely up to me how much we grow. And I'll get into more of this later. If you want a real quick outline, it's not a real thick, heavy outline, but the first point I'm going to go over is to review the importance. To review for importance. And we're going to talk about just a review of what we've already gone over and talk about that. I'm going to start asking some more interaction questions. The second point is to request for involvement. I'm going to request that you get involved. And then thirdly, there is a requirement of interaction. Requirement's a pretty strong word. It's a mandate. It's a commitment. And that's what we're looking for with all of this. So why is this so crucial? Why is this essential to our development? Why can this not be missed? It's because God says that it's important in his word. So if you're there, which I know you're not, unless you can read my mind, 2 Peter chapter 3. You have certain words as you're a pastor that just kind of flow out naturally when you're... Sometimes it just comes out that way, so that was one of them. You get to see my perspective. So as we review the importance, 2 Peter 3:18, we're going to go quickly from this to another point, but I want you to know this. God commands us to grow. Anybody who says or isn't growing isn't walking with the Lord in the right way. That doesn't mean they're not saved. It means they're not walking with the Lord in the right way. They're not doing the right things. Are you with me? We are commanded to grow. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace." This is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." There's something called in weightlifting called hypertrophy. Hypertrophy is when you are growing. Hypertrophy in organs or whatever. In bodybuilding, it's when you're growing. And you do a lot of different things to cause growth in bodybuilding. You change the direction. You turn your wrist when you're doing curls a certain way. You do more weight. You do more volume, more reps, more sets. And so when you're doing these things, there's a greater likelihood that you're going to grow. What we're going to do, and Pastor Pablo is going to be talking more, a lot more about this next week, is we're going to tailor it. We're going to be those spiritual trainers, and we're going to walk the congregation in how to grow, because we're commanded to grow in God, right? We do that on Sunday mornings, which is really the basis for the G. We grow in God by being taught and learning, but we have to do things differently. We've got to change up things so that we're continually growing. One of the things and I remember when I was lifting when I was in high school was muscle and fitness. The guy who was, I guess, the one behind the company, his name was Joe Weider. He had a Weider principle called, it's called confusion principle. So as soon as your body starts getting used to these types of curls, then you do a different type of curl. You do reverse curls, and all these different things change the way that you attack the different muscle groups, right? So in the same way, spiritual, we've got to do things a little bit different. We've got to constantly be angling so that we can grow in a greater way. Now, if you're not there, which, again, you'd have to be reading my mind to get there, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So Peter commands us to grow. Paul here in 1 Corinthians 3 is going to talk about, he's going to explain the essence of growth. Peter commanded the growth. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 is going to talk about and explain the essence of growth. Really, really neat passage. I'm going to take these verses 5 through 15. We're going to go through it a little bit at a time. I'll ask a few questions as we go along. So be ready. We're going to start interacting a little bit. We are being recorded. Not sure if the video is going to go up. We're going to try and put a video up tonight or maybe tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to do editing. We're going to record it for sure in audio, but we want to make sure we get this out to people who can't make it as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the stress will be on verses 6 and 7. However, all of the verses are valuable to growing in God. So look with me, read with me, or rather follow along as I read verses 5 through 7. And listen to what it says here. Paul writes and he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one?" So basically there was a factions. Well, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, we're better. And God says, no, that's not the way we're going to look at it. And Paul's correcting that, says we're all one body, right? So he's kind of correcting that. But then he goes and he elaborates on growth, where growth really takes place, the essence of spiritual growth. And he says in verse 6, he says, "I planted..." Paul's writing, "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." In other words, it's really God that counts. It's not this pastor's church or that pastor's church, it's God's church. And we've always stressed that here. And we want to continue to always stress this. This word for increase is where we get the word grow from. It's oxano in the Greek. I haven't been able to prove this yet, but I believe it's augment comes from this Greek word, oxano, and it means to increase with growth, to increase with growth. It's an imperfect verb, but I'm going to go to with you in just a minute. I'll explain to you about what an imperfect verb is. But what I want you to understand is when a farmer plants, he doesn't cause growth. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The growth is a miracle process. It is something that God orchestrates. So when we talk about, and here's where the interesting, if you're tracking with me, 2 Peter said, "I command you to grow." What we're going to see here tonight is that it's a participation. The growth is going to take place, but God will be the one growing you. You just have to participate with it. As much as you want to grow, I guarantee you, you want to grow this much, you'll grow that much in the Word. If you want to grow that much, you'll grow that much. If you only want to grow this much, that's all you're going to grow. And blessings. The blessings and growth are completely up to you and completely up to me. So here's what I see here in this passage, and I want to point it out to you. Verse 6 comes in, and Paul says, "I'm the one who planted." This is a aorist verb. This is a past tense verb. I planted, past tense. And he says, who? Who comes up next?
Apollos.
And what did he do? He watered. And what kind of a tense verb is that?
Past
tense. So you have to see the interaction here. When it comes to ministry, when we talk about the essence of growth in God, we do things past tense, and then, and only then, does God get involved. We do things past tense, and then God steps in, and what do we see here? And God brings the increase or the growth. He causes growth to take place. It will not happen any other way. Therefore, combining 2 Peter and 1 Corinthians 3, we have to understand that it has to be a participation. It has to be a participation. There has to be involvement. And that's why it's so important. This church, this is the secret of growing in God. Simply put, this is the secret for you to grow in God. You don't have to buy some crazy video series or you know, you know what I mean? It's not something that, we're not marketing this. We're just simply sharing this. This is true for anybody who's grown. And I beat this down enough, you guys understand this. Verse 8 talks about the responsibility for growth, and it's established in work. You'll see that it just continues. Paul's just continuing the thought. So verse 8 says this. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. They're the workers. And each one will receive his own reward. What?
According to his own labor.
What does that mean to you guys? According to his own labor.
Sharing.
It's giving. It's sharing. What you put in is what you get out, right? Right? Everybody's on the same page?
He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. You love that verse, don't you?
It's
his favorite verse.
What's a Greek word, Elizabeth? Come on.
For which one?
Diligently seek.
Oh, exhale.
I was going to say that.
I can't believe I got that right.
Good job.
All right. Elizabeth, I'll give you another Greek word a little bit later, okay?
That's a lot of
sorry, Elizabeth.
Eventually, I'll just share with you, eventually, and Pastor Pablo, he's going to talk about some things next week, but eventually we'll have groups that are about no more than 10. We'll have small groups, and they'll grow together, and we're going to fine-tune, and I'm very, very passionate about next week. I'm excited to hear what the Lord's been putting on Pastor Pablo's heart, but there's going to be that type of interaction. So this is good. It's safe. I don't know if anybody feels uncomfortable with interacting yet or not. But so listen, when growth takes place, there's a work site that is located. And we see that in verse 9. Whenever you build, there has to be a work site. So where is that work site? Verse 9 says this. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So the work site is what? It's you. It's us, right? Let me ask you this. Do you guys see where it says that there in verse 9, you're his field, you're supposed to be tended to, right? The weeds are supposed to be removed, you're supposed to be fertilized, there's supposed to be investment and time there, right? But also, you're God's building. This building is going to burn. We can put as much money as we want into it. It's going to burn. And people who are too focused on buildings, that's going to be their focus. Our focus, our filter, is growing in God. Are you guys with me? We still want to make the building as nice as we can. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is just a physical building. The building, the body of Christ, is us. Now look at verse 10. There's got to be wisdom involved here. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul writing, he says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. So, how are we to build? Like what kind of master builder? This is open book, by the way, if you want to look at verse 10. It's open. We're transitioning. I'm going to start asking more questions. I'm trying to ease into it for you guys' sake. It's a certain type of a master builder. It's a...
Wise.
Thank you. I know you guys are paying attention. That's how we're supposed to build. Right? Wisely. Circumspectly. With prudence. And that's what we're after. So how do we do that? How is it that we grow? Look at verse 11. 11 talks about this. It talks about our foundation. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Who is our foundation?
Jesus Christ.
Who is Jesus? He is also known as God,
the
right?
Son of
that's
God.
That's we're growing in God, right? That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. our foundation's important.
Yes.
We've seen some damaging effects, right, on the walls.
Yes.
Right? We just recently got our foundation fixed, right? And there's still doors that are kind of not shutting properly, and we're going to have to kind of work on those. We had a big crack on the wall right here, which we patched, but we still have to texture and paint it, right? We get a weird thing going on in this part of the world, you know? We got the foundation, and it's all over the place. You guys ever seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa? 186 feet tall, 50 feet and 9 inches in width, and a weight of 16,000 tons. Anybody know what the depth of the foundation is? They dug down. You guys want to guess? They didn't dig deep enough. Just pick a round number.
10 feet.
10 feet is what it is. Yes.
I totally guess.
Obviously, Dad would know it.
So, what happens? What happens when the foundation's off?
Things
shift, right? Things crumble, things fall apart.
Things burn up.
Right here, I tried looking over there to help you guys see some of the, right? Pipes break, right? We were worried about that when we lifted our foundation. We were worried that the pipes underneath were going to break. Praise the Lord, we prayed that they wouldn't, they didn't. We had one pipe break, but it wasn't because of the shifting, and it wasn't because of the lifting of the foundation. So that's physically. What about spiritually? What happens spiritually if your foundation's off?
Unbalanced.
Unbalanced.
Chaos.
Speak up.
Hey, Trevor.
What was that, Trevor? What did
you say? I was repeating.
Well, without a good foundation, it will collapse spiritually also.
So the same is true spiritually, right? If you want to take, oh, I'm not going to take you there. I want to make sure I'm sensitive to our time. This is going to get away from me. I just feel it right now because I want to elaborate on things. Matthew 7 talks about when the storms came, and those people who had a shifty, sandy foundation, the storm just wiped them out. And the same is true spiritually. I've seen it happen with people. And I'm not going to, for the sake of time, I could tell you stories of people when they faced a storm in life, they got taken over. They got walloped, you know, and they didn't have to. It didn't have to be that way. So, How and what are we supposed to build with? Verses 12 through 15 gives us that. These are the building materials, right? Verses 12 through 15. I want you to think about this. There's two different things in here, two different groups of building materials that you can build with. Verse 12 says this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So we're talking about at the end of every single person's life, they're going to stand before the Lord and it's going to go through a fire. Everything that you've done, everything that I've done is going to go through the fire, right? And we've got two different types of building materials here. Can you guys see that here? What are the two different types? Sets of three.
Wood. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw.
You guys see, what's the difference between those two?
Flammable and unflammable.
One will go away.
Highly combustible.
Yeah.
Highly combustible. How about worthiness? Some have a greater worth, right?
Like gold.
Yeah, we're not going to build with gold here, right?
Yeah.
We're not going. We might paint, but I doubt that.
Just paint it with gold.
And it would be nice, huh? So the rich investment church is going to be rewarded, and cheap investments will burn. Things in life that you do that are richly invested are going to be rewarded, and the cheap ones will be burned.
One takes more effort to acquire than the other.
Yeah.
And
so the growth is slower.
And fire is actually how you form gold, silver, and those materials.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The
impurities are gotten out of gold and stones with fire.
Yeah. A lot of insights, right? This is what we're supposed to be doing here. Not just one source, multiple sources. So there's a clear difference. Do you guys know, and I think I've kind of explained already, but do you guys know the difference in what are these gold, silver, precious stones, and wood hands double in your life? Listen, if you don't want to volunteer an answer, and that's okay, I'm not necessarily asking for that. Do you understand that there's a difference between you producing gold and building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones versus wood, hand, straw?
It's what you're building with that you're not using those foundational products, I guess. I mean, if you try to build a castle not using those thoughts and using that foundation material, you're not going to have anything that survives the fire.
The thought occurs to me, if you're going to build with gold or precious stones, it's going to cost. You have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while to produce, right, to gather all that in. Right? And we can go out there and make hay, you know.
Yeah.
You get stubble, straw, it's real easy to get. Easy to chop down, easy to push together, but the gold and the silver, it takes a while to gather that, right?
You got to refine it. And, you know, like the potters, do that. They make the pottery with their hands, right? And then they don't hand it to you as a finished product. They got to put it in the fire to make it useful.
Just like we were talking about, yeah, this fire is going to be refining things. Let me ask you guys a question before we go on. What would be a reasonable amount of time? I already shared with you my amount of time. What do you think would be a reasonable amount of time to produce gold, silver, and precious stones in your life, in our lives here? If it takes longer to produce it, if it has to go through a fire, if that's part of the process, if it takes some time to build that up and to build on the foundation, because we don't want to build with wood, hay, and stubble, and straw, right? We want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. So what is a reasonable amount of time in your mind, in your opinion? I've shared with you my opinion. What is a reasonable amount of time that we would grow? If I said it enough, you guys are looking at me kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about.
10 karat gold by Sunday.
By Sunday.
10 karat
gold by Sunday.
But you grow and you get 14 karat.
Yeah. Are you guys with me? Do you understand? Is a year long enough? I'm gonna not get in the interaction.
For what, like?
Right, spiritual growth. Building on our foundation with gold, silver.
This process 4 weeks.
What's that?
This process 4 weeks.
It's just an overview. I don't think 4 weeks will do it. But
as long as it takes.
It may take some people water.
How much you? I mean, it just, I don't have a good word, but I think it's a little
effective. You'll start seeing it.
Yeah.
Some people are a little more driven. Right?
It'll be
yeah.
smaller at first, but it will grow.
I think it's about how much I invest into it,
right.
How long it'll take, and where I'm going to be as a foundation or a building, where I'm going to point everything. That's going to determine, but you know, if you're weak-minded and you don't know, have all the knowledge, you've got to build that up. So to build that up, it's not instant, but you can get words from God. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways.
If you think I was asking you for a commitment on how long it's going to take for you to grow, that's not what I was trying to get at. So if you said 6 months and you don't grow that much in 6 months, we're not going to say, you know what, we've got it on. We're just saying, like, collectively, what do you think would be a reasonable amount of time?
Time is going to be different for everybody.
I think the process can start immediately,
mm-hmm.
but there's never a point where you're fully achieved. So I would say the process starts immediately and until your last dying breath.
I can't help but think of my kids. I know when one kid is not achieving what he should be, and another kid who may have the same age, same level, he doesn't have the same capabilities or the same, you know, his personality is different, his development is different, or whatever. But when you're talking, I couldn't help but think of Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. End of chapter 5, he has this big long discussion about Melchizedek. And he says, and we have many more things to say, but they're hard to be said because you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you should be teachers, you have need that one teacher again the first principles of God and are
Jason, as a father, you watch over your children and make sure they grow to the best of your ability.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're aware of your children, right? So we've got a Heavenly Father, our God, who watches over us, right? And what have we already established? Growth. We don't do that miracle process. We participate with it. So if people participate, I think, and I think we're going to get that here, I think 1 year from now, that's just my opinion, you know, I think some people will grow differently. I absolutely agree with that. And I'll give you an illustration. I agree. When you're first starting, I know this is good. We're interacting. When you first start off growing in something, your gain is a lot quicker. But once you get a little farther along, it slows. But Anne?
I just followed up on what Jason said. Like, two, we set goals for our children, and we'll push them to get to that goal if need be. But we don't have them do it alone. We scaffold them, and we give them the necessary tools to get there. But we do set goals, and we do push them to get there, which I do believe the Lord does for us, too.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I'm going to skip my whole second point. This is going more than what I wanted to, and that's not as much of an important point as the third point. So I'm going to go right to the third point. If you're taking notes, this is the requirement of interaction. Why a time for interaction? Why is that so important for us? It's because questions are important. Questions are critical to us. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, we're going to go through verses 13 through 15. I want you to pay very close attention. I want you to put your thinking caps on, and I want you to answer me.
Thank you.
Answer me a question here in just a minute. So Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked two very similar but very different questions. Interaction will be question-driven. Are you guys with me? These home fellowships, and this is as close to a home fellowship as we've gotten so far, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to start off as we transition into these, but it's got to be question-driven. This is critical for us, and this is why it's so important, and it requires interaction. In a smaller setting, everybody gets involved. This is a setting some people don't have to get as involved. It's a little bit easier for the masses, but in Matthew 16, look at verses 13 through 15. Jesus speaks here, and he says, Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus, when he came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am?" But they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Two different questions, very similar. What do you guys think the differences are between them?
One's general and one's focused.
They one's and you.
General.
Yeah.
They, you.
They, you.
General, specific.
Search yourself.
One looks inwardly, the other one looks
outwardly.
Because they're contrasting. They're almost identical. But they're absolutely contrasting to one another, right? You guys with me? Anybody have any other observations?
The world versus believers.
World versus believers.
Who are you believing?
Who are you believing?
Are you making up your own image, or do you know the true
right?
image?
Some men believe, and then other people know, right? It's made up, or the real true living God. Are you guys with me, right?
Or are you just claiming, or do you know who he is?
Is there a confidence, right? One involves observation. The other one involves commitment. One comes from the heart. Jesus was asked, I know you guys don't know this. I didn't know this before studying, but you guys want a little test time? How many questions was Jesus asked in his life, in the Bible? I didn't think so. 183.
So we got 10 questions.
You're cold.
Oh, it's cold.
183, yeah, good job, Eric. Way to listen and pay attention. Okay, so here's a question for you. How many of those 183 questions did he answer?
A
You're not far.
I like it.
You're not far. You're very close.
Eight. Seven. The number of completion.
Answer, like,
six.
A parable or another question?
14.5
So, Jason, you're on the right track here. So here's the thing. 3 to 8, depending on how you categorize them. Some people say he answered three questions directly in the scriptures. And then some people say, well, with parables, like, you know, sometimes he explained things to people. 3 to 8, he answered. Out of 183 questions that he was asked, he answered at best 8 questions.
What?
Pretty interesting. Now, here's another question for you. How many questions did Jesus ask in the Bible?
215.
More. I love the guessing game. This is a jar of jelly beans right now.
Between 250 and 400.
You're right. It's in that range.
323.
Getting closer.
325.
Less.
320.
330. 315 is less. Less.
301.
298.
Say it with some passion.
305.
A little bit more.
250.
307.
307 is what it is. Thank you, Lord. I didn't make over too much. 307 questions. Jesus asked almost twice as many questions than he was asked. Questions are critical that our Lord has shown that asking questions from him to us is very, very important. An average 4-year-old child asks 437 questions a day. If you've had a 4-year-old, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because it is why, what, why,
when,
how? It is question after question after question. Listen, what happens when you're a little child? Listen, when Elizabeth was just a little baby, I remember hearing this. I remember studying on this. And I read a study, and they said that children, human growth, brain development takes the greatest amount of human growth development in the brain takes place in the first 5 years. And I remember why, and they said especially in the first year to 2 years. And I remember watching Elizabeth. I would be holding her, and I'd watch her eyes, and she would just get fixated on something, and she would just watch. And I'm like, I remember saying, God, if she can grow like this in this world, I was begging, Lord, please let me grow in you. There was something dynamic happening in my life in growth at that period of time, and I was inspired by what the Lord was doing in Elizabeth's life. Questions are absolutely critical. Do you know that the single greatest factor that impacts children in the first 5 years? Do you know what? Solitary thing lays the foundation for this incredible growth. What?
Parents.
Mothers.
Curiosity.
Food.
The paddle.
Talking to
them. Not at 3 months old.
Answering their questions and talking to them. Interaction.
Yeah. So we're all kind of on the same page here, right? Even the spankings, right? It's relationships.
Yeah. To be closer to them.
It's relationships. That's the single. If you put a kid in an orphanage, you don't interact with them, they're not going to grow. They diminish. So the single greatest relationship that we can have is with God.
With Jesus.
Which is God. Amen. He teaches us that we're loved. He teaches us we're safe and secure. He tells us this is what happens when we cry, when we make faces, right? He's a parent. He teaches us proper communication, behavior, social skills. So let me make one thing clear before we go on. We're almost to just simply questions at this point, and I got to wrap this up pretty quick. Let me make one thing absolutely clear. If somebody next to you isn't paying attention, would you pinch them right now? Okay. It's a warning. It's a fair warning. And if you got pinched and it wasn't right, then go ahead and pinch back twice. No, I'm sorry, that's repaying evil for evil. We're not supposed to do that. Okay, so listen. One thing's got to be clear for you, and that is God is not limited to grow you and me for 5 years. It's not the first 5 years that you're saved that you're going to grow the most. You are not. There is something dynamic spiritually that happens that is not limited in one single way, except for how much you participate, how much you allow the Lord to grow you. If for example, we're going to do the G. We're going to grow in God on Sundays. You want to invite somebody new to church? You know where the first place you invite them to? Sunday service. Let them get in here. It's a lot easier than a home fellowship. But you can invite them to a home fellowship too, if that's all they can make it. But listen, what we want to do is we want to invest and we want to see people grow. And this is the place that we grow in God is here at church, and it's not limited in any capacity. So what I want to do now is I want to transition very quickly. I want to ask you a series of questions. I want you to write some down. I'd like you to give them back to me. I'd like you to write answers down to these questions and give them back to me. Maybe not every single one of them. If you want me to email them to you, I can do that, but I want interaction. So here's the questions I'd ask you. When was the time that you grew most in the Lord? When was the time that you grew most in your relationship with the Lord? You might be in it right now. And kind of piggyback with that, I know I'm going to read probably faster than most of you can write. And nobody has the best memory in here to remember all of these, so I want to see heads down, pens moving.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. You want to come closer to here? Or can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I just...
When was the time that you grew most in your relationship with God? And then the second one follows up, why? What were the factors? What contributed to that? So, now that you guys are writing that, I'll just share with you guys a few things while you're writing. If you're done, you can look up, it's okay. I've always been discipled to teach as a pastor. You just declare, this is what we're doing. We're in a different season right now as a church. And so we're going to be asking a lot more questions of you, like, what would make you grow more on Sundays? Doesn't mean we're going to stop teaching the Bible. Doesn't mean we're going to stop worshiping. Doesn't mean we're going to stop praying. Doesn't mean we're going to stop fellowshipping. There's staples to Christianity that we absolutely will not change. However, I'm very curious if there's anything that would make Sunday service more impactful, more impacting than it is now for you. And if so, write it down. If you're worried about hurting my feelings, then don't put your name on it. Don't send it to me in an email. Have somebody else pass it to me. Put it in the tithing basket. I am open to whatever you guys would say. I'm not guaranteeing that we're going to do any of those things, but we're going to teach the Bible. That's what we do. That's our bread and butter, right? Okay. I do want to close us in a time of prayer. Like I said, this is going to be a transition, so bear with me here. We're going to go a little bit longer. But what are obstacles that you would like to forewarn others about? If you could say to a young Christian, to a younger you, and this applies to the oldest and the youngest of us. If you could go back 15 years, if you can go back 3 years, if you can go back yesterday, what obstacles would you say, listen, brother, listen, sister, I want to warn you about this. Again, this is going to be, you can see where we're transitioning to where eventually we'll say, Colby, what would you say is your number one thing? Watch out for this. And in a small setting, we're going to have that. And a lot of times what we'll do, like in our men's fellowship, that's what we're doing. We're talking about things that go through, and then we say, hey, listen, I've gone through that. Here's some things that have worked for me. Watch out for this, but do these things, right? What you'll see, if you're paying attention to the questions, if you're paying attention, and if not, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, we're going to be moving in this direction so that it's not unidirectional, it's multidirectional, so that it's across the aisle, so it's behind the pew. Are you guys with me? you're going to be sowing into much more into one another's lives. If you, here's another question. If you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? I can tell you a lot of things that I would do differently if I could go back. I got saved when I was in elementary school. If I could go back and do things differently. If somebody, what's that?
I hear you, bro.
Yeah, and you get a little bit older. But I could, when I was in high school, I could have told you if I could go back, I would do things differently. If somebody were starting a church, I could tell them, I would never do this, this, and this again. I thought this was right. I would change it up completely. I had no experience planning a church. Blindly kind of going out there, right? I knew how to do church, but not planning a church, not going where you didn't know anybody. Okay, another question. What have been some things that you have done to enhance your relationship with God? Once you finish with that one, just write two words underneath it, because it's another question. It's the same type of question.
What was that again? What things would you do to enhance?
Yeah. What have been things that you've done to enhance your relationship with God? What are the best things you've done? What are your greatest resources for growing in God? See where it lends itself? Investment. Investment is not just in your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes you get more blessed when you invest in others. If you don't know this, there's something really, a really weird dynamic that is anti-worldly. It's heavenly. And that is, you do the exact opposite. If you're tired, you serve. Right? It's exact opposite. So sometimes rather than investing and trying to get more growth for yourself, sometimes you invest in somebody else and you cause more growth. It's this really, really weird dynamic that comes from God. Okay, so here's some questions for our Grow Discipleship. I've got a series of questions, so try and stay with me. What are some questions that I've not asked that I should have asked? Any questions I missed?
You read the question here.
Yeah. What questions have I missed? No. Emma?
Like it.
All of them from the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. When was the time you grew the most in your relationship to God? What do you believe the factors for this were? Is there anything that would make Sunday service more impacting for you? What obstacles would you forewarn others about? If you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? What things have enhanced your relationship the most with God? What are your greatest resources for your relationship with God? And then the last question was, what have I not asked?
What is your plan for your growth with God?
What is your plan for your growth with God? And that's a question I'd be asking to you.
Correct.
In your opinion, what would it take for you to grow in God? You know how sometimes, like, you realize, like, there is commitment in just answering these questions. Like, what would it take for you to grow in God? Well, I'd have to stop doing this. I'd have to forgive this family member. I'd have to start reading my Bible. I need to start praying. I really need to get plugged into a church. You guys see there's factors that are involved here. Is this something that our church can provide to help you grow more in God? A few more questions, okay? Maybe five. A few is five, three or four, I think, right? So a few plus one, okay? What do you foresee as obstacles for our Grow Discipleship? By the way, these are the questions, some of the questions that we've asked in our leadership meetings, and we just butt heads sometimes. We've talked about this. We all love each other. We care about each other. And it doesn't change that, but sometimes we just disagree, you know? So sometimes it's like, well, what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. What do you think we should do? What are obstacles? Are we missing anything? Are there any obstacles that we are going to come across that you foresee? Here's the thing. Monica has this gift of leadership. It's called directional style leadership. I'm not as strong in this. She has an ability to see down the line and maneuver, and she knows doing things now how they have downstream effects. Mm-hmm. I'm not as strong in that. So if I'm doing things right, I'll be saying, hey, Monica, what do you think about this? That's why in our leadership meetings, we say, Monica, what do you think? You know, I just am not as strong in that. It doesn't mean that I'm less of a person. Some people out here have more of a directional style of leadership gift than I do. So are there any obstacles I missed? That we've missed? All right. Have you invited people to our church? If so, what were some reasons that you were confident to do so? And conversely, if not, why weren't you confident? Was it the look of the building? That would be one thing I think would bother me. So what were some reasons? Have you invited people to the church? Why were you confident? Which tells you, like, this, we're doing some things that are right, but maybe there's some things that we're not doing right. And then the last question, and we'll go to some prayer groups for about 10 minutes. We're going to shorten and abbreviate some of this. Is what would it take for you to begin inviting people? I've shared this with you guys. We're not focused on growing numerically. We're focused on growing our church, like, from phase to phase, from G to R to O to W, right? We're growing the disciples here. However, I'm going to be shameless about this. I want more people to minister to. You know, that's what God's called me to do. I want to grow our church. I think when you start seeing more people come, when we start seeing people grow in the Lord, when we see the numbers grow, it's going to be more exciting for you. It's going to be more exciting for me. People will be more invested in it. So, did everybody get all those questions? Do you have any questions?
I don't have them. No. I've been recording you. Thank you.
Okay,
and are you going to email the question list out, or you just want us to respond back to you with the answers?
Yeah, if you didn't get a chance to write them down, you want me to email them? I just copying and pasting to an email would be easy. I can do that for you.
Okay.
So anybody else besides Colby want them emailed? Okay, I'll get that to you. Okay, so let's break up in groups of three or four, take about 10 minutes. So let's pray till maybe 23 after, okay?